Number 12 in Sing the Journey. We will sing the first verse in Portuguese and verses 1, 3, 4, and 5 in English. Please stand.
Let's join in the worship book, number 425.
Yeah.
This morning in first hour, we will be singing a variety of songs. The planning for this morning was placed in the hands of people who chose to lead singing. They are choosing songs that, for whatever reason, are deeply meaningful or beautiful to them. So this morning's song selection has been crowdsourced. And in our hymn singing second hour, you'll be welcome to join in that selection, where you'll be welcome to choose your own favorite songs. Hymnal 581, Take Thou My Hand.
I noted in my hymnal that I've sung this at two grandparents' funerals over the last 15 years. One of my grandparents was German-speaking, and I'm going to sing this all in German. You're welcome to sing in whatever language you like.
This wasn't programmed in, but I have to tell you that as I grew up as a child for many years in Bern, Indiana, this was the hymn they always sang at the very end of that long service. So to me, it means church is over. Apparently, it doesn't mean that here.
You can turn to number 578 in the blue hymnal. This is just for the words, for you who need words. We're actually going to sing this to the tune of Amazing Grace, which is a wonderful tune, but if you're like me singing about being a wretch, or maybe the associations aren't so great. So fortunately, you can mix and match. See the top page here, it says CM. That means common meter, which is da 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 The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. So, fortunately, that meter works with Amazing Grace, which is a wonderful tune. So let's stand and we'll sing it together to the tune of Amazing Grace. This is a special hymn for me because this is what was a bedtime song at our house almost every night.
We've been living these past several weeks and will be for the next several weeks with the nature of our creation, with our created bodies, with our part in the creation of God. And I invite us to join in speaking the story of that great creation in the hymnal worship book number 806, a setting of the first chapter of Genesis. It's a story that we're familiar with. It's a story that we're sometimes in tension with, especially with those bits about having dominion and subduing, which we are still trying to figure out how to do without controlling and destroying. But I'd enjoy just to join in speaking this, and then we will sing a song, a hymn, Joyful is the Dark, which, among other things, holds up some of the images from this text and gives it a new interpretation. I'd invite people on this side to read the dark print, people on this side, the regular print. And if you can, while you're speaking, or when you're not speaking, look around, find other faces of the people who are in this body together with us this morning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome, and separated the waters
together. God saw everything that she had made, and indeed, it was very good. Number 233.
And I have always appreciated this song since the Blue Hymnal came out and I got to know it. Appreciated that it was written specifically to kind of expand our understanding of God and who God is, as well as to counter the ways that we limit God based on our fears and prejudices. And so I appreciate the old songs, but I hope we continue to write the new songs that help us see better the image of God and how all of us are in that image.
Joyful is the Lord.
Move into our sharing time with two invitations to the Spirit to be among us.
We were invited to say a few words, which is dangerous, and I'll try to keep it short, but in recent years, this book has become a textbook when I've taught music theory classes, and in some ways it may seem to take away from the theology to look at the musical construction, but I found that it actually deepened my understanding of the theology of these wonderful songs. So if you'll bear with me very briefly, I love these words from the 18th century. They're calm yet intense with meaning. Words like gracious, comfort, guide over every thought and step preside, light of truth on display, fullness of joy, forever blessed, and perhaps my favorite in this hymn, plant holy fear. I'm also intrigued by the rhythm, and I forgot to say this is 303 in the hymnal worship book, if you haven't found it. The whole hymn is made of one rhythmic pattern. It starts with these three quarter notes and then a dotted half note, and then that same pattern happens seven times before it finally breaks free at the end, finally five quarter notes in a row rather than just three. And that repetition, I think, helps balance the theology of the hymn. And finally, the harmony. And here, you'll forgive me for throwing out some terms, but they mean something. It moves from the tonic to the submedian, and this makes us want, this minor sixth chord in the second measure makes us want to go to the dominant, which lingers for a while before it finally resolves back to tonic at the word from above. And then in the second half, there's an extended tonic. We're home for a long time here with these two. There's these two chords that we call passing subdominants. They're just sublime. They're so fleeting. And then finally, there's a harmonic drive with more changes of chords to the final cadence. So simplicity balanced with complexity. It could seem to just stop every time there's a held dotted half note, but instead we'll sing it fairly quickly, and I'll invite you to stagger your breaths and make the first half one phrase of its own. Let's sing together.
Oh,
Turn to 106 in the Purple Sing the Storybook. I picked this one just because it's so beautiful. And sort of different than many of our other hymns. When we sing this, I feel like we ought to be a little cafe with a beret and a glass of wine and a cigarette. And probably we won't do that. But it reminds me of one of a Martin Luther quote, because Martin Luther was very interested in music and got criticized for some of the music he used for his hymns. And he said, well, the devil shouldn't have all the good tunes. So, well, our Philharmonic here will play the refrain as an introduction, then we'll sing together. Turn to number 563 in the blue hymnal. This is another metrical setting of the psalm, not 23 this time, it's Psalm 121, also in common meter as it turns out. I just love this, the words, and I love this sturdy, simple tune, but a story about this one, I picked it out. I don't know why I ever have this memory, but when I was 8 or 9, 10 years old, we finally got a TV, a black and white Philco that, you know, sat in the living room, and I was watching one of the cowboy shows I liked. I think it was The Lone Ranger, but it might have been Roy Rogers or Gene Autry, I'm not sure. But anyway, they were rounding up bad guys. But part of the plot was that there was some treasure, and they had all these clues. And so they were following the clues, and they were down to the last one, and they were all scratching their heads because the last clue was Psalm 121. And they all didn't know what to do, but finally the Lone Ranger said, "Well, I know that one. Let's lift up your eyes unto the hills." And they lifted up, and there was the treasure right up there in the hill. So I thought at that point probably some rudiments of biblical literacy was a good thing. So
I do.
We're going to start singing. If you could make your way in, please. As soon as everybody's in, please close those doors so that we have some sound while in here. Not putting pressure on